I was pretty certain that I knew what I was going to preach on. Well, I knew what I wanted to preach on. We'll put it that way. I knew what I wanted to preach on. But then when I got around to really meditating on what God wanted to preach on, we had two different topics, and I went with what God had. So we are at the very, very last day of this year. And you know what? It's not been a bad year. It's just been a year. It's been a year where there's been a lot of growth. At the beginning of January, my very first message in January of 2023, I preached a message Let me get to it here. I'm going through a year of sermons in one notebook. And it was called Getting Well. And I asked you the question a year ago, do you want to be well? Do you want to be well? And I believe that so many of us have gotten to an it is well place. But there are some areas that God brought to me yesterday. Now, I am a person, I like to keep it real. I believe that we are living in a world where everybody says, I'm okay, you're okay, everything's fine, I'm fine, you're fine as long as you don't bring up the stuff I'm doing, and then I won't bring up the stuff you're doing, and then we'll all be fine. That's a very silly world to live in because it's unrealistic. And so I am a reality preacher, and I'm going to preach some reality, and the only way that I can really do it is I can preach it out of my life. I cannot preach it out of your life because you'll get mad and offended and leave. Amen? Hallelujah. But I can certainly preach it out of my life. And as many of you know, I own a home here in Paris. And I have believed God for almost a year that that home would sell. And the home has not sold. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There are things that you are believing God to do in your life, and you are asking God to do, and He has not done them yet. And you've gotten to a place in your life, a place of complacency, where you're getting irritated and you're getting agitated. And I want to tell you, stop. There's places in our life that we are right now in the here and now that we don't want to be in, and we are trying to get past them, but there's pain in that place. And yesterday I sat in that home in Paris. I sat in the recliner that I used to sit in all the time, and I just began to cry. And I said, God, I am sick of it. I'm sick of crying those same tears. I'm sick of looking at this place, having that pain over that thing. And He said, well, Kelly, go ahead and grieve it then. Go ahead and grieve it then. And I'm a big believer that one of the main things in your life that you have to grieve is the idea of what you thought life was going to be. There are people, you are stuck in a place in your life because you had an idea of where you thought that you would be. You had an idea of what you thought that your life was going to be at this point in your life, and it hasn't turned out that way, and you're upset about it. You need to grieve that idea because the Word of God says that my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And the way that I handle things, they're higher than what you would ever do. Amen. Go with me now to Genesis chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 1. If you are joining me on Facebook Live, I'm going to ask you to be a part of this service with us. Get your Bible out. How many in my congregation this morning, you've brought your Bible with you? Raise your hand. One of the things that I'm going to ask you to do in this new year is bring your Bible, because here is the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is this right here. I cannot sit there and get you into heaven. I can give you the Word, but the Word says you've got to work out your own salvation, and you have to do that with fear and with trembling. One of the ways that you're going to work out your own salvation is you're going to get into your Word until that Word begins to get into you. And then the Bible says that the Word of God is living and it's active. David said in the Psalms, Lord, thy word have I put in my heart that I may not sin against you. If people would put the Word into themselves, we would save ourselves a lot of heartache. Bring your Bible to church with you, because Dad and I, several years ago, we were sitting in a funeral. And the preacher up there was a very well-known preacher. We were at an evangelist funeral, very well-known. And the preacher quoted a Bible verse. And Dad looks over at me and he goes, that is not a verse in the Bible. Now look, your pastor is a person. Okay? I put my pants on the same way that you put your pants on. When we're around the Thanksgiving dinner table, I'm liable to get in an argument with one of my family members. Hey, what am I trying to tell you? I'm a person. Okay? Now, I try very hard to stick to the Word, but look here, you need to get into the Word for yourself. And when I say turn to Genesis chapter 4, you need to get to turning. Why? Because you need to read what's in there. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. How many of you have a sibling? There's not nothing quite like it. Amen. So here these brothers are. How many? Reading's back there with those two boys. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall with those two. I bet they were just the cutest little things, but I just bet they got into everything. Well, I got two boys myself. Here's Eve and here's Adam. They have Cain. They have Abel. One of them works the land. One of them works with the animals. And here they are. They're bringing God their offering. God looks at favor to one of them's offering, and to the other one, he didn't. Right there began what is one of the biggest downfalls of humanity. Does anybody know what it was? Comparison. And I want to tell you in here this morning that every time that you compare yourself to anybody else, you're going to lose every time. You're going to lose every time. Because you're going to always see somebody better. You're going to always see somebody skinnier, somebody more successful, a better. You're going to always look at somebody else and think, oh, they're such a great mom. Why are my kids awful? You'll always see a better man providing for his family better than you can provide for yours. One of the things that God has had to work out of me, Sherry, and it's taken a while to do it, is he's had to get out of me where I'm not comparing myself with any other pastor in Logan County. Because you know what? There's room enough for all of us. But by golly, God don't want us all being the same. When I go to Walmart, people go, "Are you that little blonde pastor?" That's me. Look here. Stop comparing yourself because it's eating you up. Stop comparing yourself because it's eating you up. So here these two brothers are. That made Cain angry. And it made his face downcast. And then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why are you angry? Why are you angry, Cain?" Yesterday as I sat in my recliner, God asked me the same thing. Kelly, why are you so angry? And I just began to tell him, one of the main things that I've seen people in this year is anger. People's angry. People's angry. Why? I don't know. I don't know why you're angry, but I know a little bit of the reasons why I'm angry. See, maybe somebody did you wrong, and you just haven't been able to get over it. Maybe somebody cheated on you. You don't think you can ever trust somebody again. And I wrote down some of the things. Maybe life hasn't panned out the way that you thought that it would. Some of us, we've been let down time and time again. People have wronged us, judged us, spread lies about us, rejected us, left us, hurt us, stabbed us in the back. And I want to tell you something today. One of the things that I've been working on, and I'm still working on it, I have not arrived. And I'm not afraid to tell you. But I'm going to give you some advice that I try to live off of every single day. You cannot expect you out of other people. You cannot expect you out of other people. You know why, Jimmy? Because ain't nobody going to do it quite like you. There has been many times this year where I have said in a state of anger or in a state of hurt, in a state of weariness, in a state of disappointment, I've said, you know what, I would never do that to somebody. I would never this. I would never say that. I would never do this or I would never do that. And God has had to remind me, Kelly, stop expecting you out of other people. You are setting yourself up to be disappointed if that's how you're going to live your life. And you will be an angry person if you expect you out of other people. Amen? Some of us were angry because there's something going on in our body and we're afraid of the outcome. Let me tell you something. You have to live your life in a constant state of faith. Dad came to me Wednesday night, and he said, "Kelly, what do you think has kept us all these years? You and I don't miss a lot of church." I said, "Well, I'll tell you what's kept me. I don't give myself that option. There's some things that God said, Kelly, if you will take them off of the table, I'll bless your life for it." That was one of those things. People have said, "Well, you're the pastor. You got to show up." Nope. I'm a person first. You don't think there's days I don't want to play hooky? Yes, there are. You think there's days I don't get mad at Sally Sue? Oh, yeah. Let me tell you something. We need to take a good look at that table, and we need to decide what we're keeping and what we're going to take off the table. Because, see, God has a place for you in 2024, and that's a place of great abundance in your life. And if you want great abundance, if you want great greatness, success, your best year, you're going to make some of your best choices. That's what it takes. Some of us are angry because it seems like it's always us that has to hold it all together. Is there anybody in here that feels like you're the one that's got to hold it all together? And that's stressful. Amen. See, I said, God, I don't really want to preach this message because people's going to have to admit up to things that's going to make them uncomfortable. But let me tell you something. We're all just people here. We're all just people. And if we can't see, if the church would do a better job at talking about mental health, we would be a lot better off as a society. And one of the biggest problems that I see in believers is they're angry. They're angry. One of the biggest lies that the devil tries to feed to you with a knife and a fork is that you're the one that is holding it all together. And let me tell you something, you're not. You're not. Because it will get to a point where you realize that you cannot hold it all together, and then you'll really meet the person who does, and that's Jesus. He holds it all together for us. God doesn't want you to feel that weight. And he doesn't want you to be angry. And so here those brothers were. And God begins to talk to Cain. See, a lot of people cannot relate to Cain. We just look at him as the first murderer in the Bible. But there's a lesson to be learned in his life. And we're going to learn it today. And God says, Cain, why are you angry? And I'm going to ask you in here today, why are you angry? People say, well, Pastor, I don't even know why you're preaching this. I'm not an angry person. Well, okay, let's go through a little couple scenarios. How many of you, when you're having a bad day, and it's in a full-blown bad day episode, you may have gotten mad at McDonald's for messing your burger up, okay? But then, a couple other things. Maybe you got a flat after that happened, and you just start having a bad day. And at some point in that day, your little brain goes to something in your past or something that somebody did to you, and you start replaying that thing. Raise your hand. Okay. Look here. This is why we're talking about this today. A lot of pastors wouldn't go there, but I'm going to go there. Why? So we can get out of there. Amen. How can I preach about this stuff, Cindy? Because I live here too. When I have a full-blown bad day, Moni, there's a couple situations that on my worst days, I go to that place. And when I go to that place, I'm the person that the Word of God talks about. Put off the old self. I become that old person that I used to be. You cannot afford to carry that anger about that thing into this new year. God's asking you. See, God right now is beginning to convict hearts. Right now, he's beginning to see if you're feeling that, that's God. And he's saying, there it is, right there. Why is he doing that? God reveals what God reveals, God can heal. What God reveals inside of your heart, God can heal it. How many of you have children in here? How many of you, when your children are upset, you're upset? You are a child of God. And that thing that has been upsetting you, maybe it's been years, maybe it's been all year, maybe it's just been 5 years, maybe it's been 10, maybe it's been 20, maybe it's been a month. I don't know. I'm not you. But see, God wants to take that out of that heart today, and he wants to replace that with something that we call gladness. Now, you have to choose, and you get to choose today, what you're taking into 2024. So God asked Cain, why are you angry? God's asking you today, why are you angry? Why are you angry? Whatever that thing is that had people raising your hands, that's where you're starting. God doesn't want you to have to, every time you stub your toe and get the wrong burger, for you to go back to that place that you don't want to go. Amen. Then he asked Cain this, why is your face downcast? Go with me to Isaiah chapter 35. We're going to read verse 10. Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 10. God asked Cain two questions. Why are you angry? Number one, why is your face downcast? Number two. So in Isaiah chapter 35, verse 10, we're going to read a couple places here. It says, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. And gladness and joy will overtake them. And sorrow and sighing will flee. A lot of people say, I'll ask them. They'll call me. They'll want me to counsel with them. I'll do that. Here's what I start with. What do you want out of your life? What do you want out of your life? You know what most people say? Pastor Kelly, I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. How many of you can say, I just want to be happy? Okay, let me tell you something. Happiness is fleeting. Happiness, many, many times, is a fleeting emotion. I know I can be happy, but get a call from Carson Paul's principal and get unhappy in 2 seconds. That's because happiness is a fleeting thing. Now, I can tell you this. I've been saved since I was 7 years old. I've been saved for 31 years, and God has taught me what the difference between gladness and joy versus happiness. Happiness is a feeling that can come and go, but gladness and joy is something inside of you that you can have, Bobby, in the middle of it all. In the middle of things that happen in our life that we don't expect, in the middle of catastrophe and chaos, you can still have gladness and joy. And so the word says, they will enter Zion with singing, and everlasting joy will crown their heads. It doesn't say happiness, because happiness can be fleeting, but it says joy. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. So, you know, when you're in an angry moment, what you need to do is you need to lay hands on yourself. A lot of people like to make a show about everything that goes on in the church. The worst thing, in my opinion, is church politics. Oh, my gosh, I don't know if there's another devil like it. Let me tell you something. Let's move past the church politics and let's just be people. Let's be the best born-again believers that we could be. Amen. But gladness and joy can overtake you if you'll make the decision that you're going to let it. So many people want to come into church and have a big show, but they don't want to live out the sermon. The hardest thing that I have to do as a person, not the pastor, but as a person, is live what I preach. The hardest thing that I have to do is live what I preach. Why? Because at the end of the day, I'm still trying to work out my own salvation. You've got to make that choice that you're going to let gladness and joy overtake you. That's a choice. That's a choice. There are days where I just get in my car, Angel, I will lay my hands on my own self, and I will say, Devil, you're leaving my thoughts right now, and I'm not going to think about this anymore today. Amen. We're shoving that to the side. We're shoving it to the side. A couple, few days ago, there's a little lady that's on my food route, on our Monday food route. And she is really something. And you meet a lot of interesting people. One time I rolled up at her house, and as God is my witness, she had made herself a helmet with aluminum foil, and it had antennas. And you know, I think God called me as a pastor because he knows that I am just as weird as everybody I'm going to be ministering to. And I rolled up in there, and I was like, how you doing, you know? I was trying not to look at her helmet because I didn't want it to be obvious that I was staring at it. I try to be, you know, nice. And it was really hard to do because that helmet, I mean, she really had it going on. And she said, I just want you to know, Pastor Kelly, that I have cured cancer, but the government won't let me tell it. They won't let me give that secret away. And this helmet is keeping all of that gone. I said, oh my gosh, how accomplished you are. Here's your supper. Look here. Curiosity has done killed this cat. I don't even ask for some of this stuff that I get because I'm like, you know what? I'd rather not. I'd rather not know why you got that helmet, but she voluntarily told me. And so she called. Frank, sweetie, will you go get me one of those white boxes? Paris Christian Center is the most precious place that I know. And this year, this is a big deal, but this church made 367 of these. Now, inside of every 367 boxes that we did, every one of them, there are 25 items in every box. Thank you, Lord. I don't do math anymore. Frank does. You don't ever want to ask me a math question because I almost failed math in every grade I was in my entire life. Yep. So, anyways, 367 boxes times 25, about 9,000. Okay. I'm going to take your word for it, honey. I gave this lady her box. Didn't think nothing of it. We blessed the 200 senior citizen residents on our Monday night meal route. We blessed 100 residents at the Paris Health and Rehab with a box. And then I was seeing Dr. Ritchie because that's who I see. Everybody's always interested about, oh, Pastor Kelly, what does she do? What, does she eat snacks? Is she a person? Yes. I like chips and I like cookies and anything sweet I like. And I've got a pretty bad temper sometimes. You can ask Frank about that. I'm just like a normal person. So I was asking Dr. Ritchie. I said, Dr. Ritchie, I have a check in my spirit, and I feel like that this year we are missing it. And I want you to help me to figure out who we're missing in the town, because I feel like we're missing a group of people that we're supposed to bless, but I don't know who they are. He said, well, I'll tell you who they are. They're all the residents at the Short Mountain Lodge. I said, well, who are they? And he goes, well, they're the folks. They may be psych patients. A lot of them have mental health issues. And right then, God spoke to me and he said, Kelly, Paris Christian Center needs to plant a seed into mental health.
Yes. Amen, we do.
I said, sign me up for that. How many of you could stand some more better mental health than what you've had?
Amen.
Okay. For those of you that don't like to act like mental health is a problem, you need to get off of your high horse and you need to wake up and watch the news for about an hour. Anyways, this little lady, I gave her her box. She called me up in tears. She said, Pastor Kelly, you must have been talking to the Holy Spirit. This is the same lady with the helmet. I said, well, I sure tried to. I didn't know what I had done. And she said, I was just telling God that I needed a comb. And inside of my box was a comb. And now I can comb my hair. Why are we talking about this? God doesn't want you to live angry. He doesn't want you to live with your face downcast. When I think about my Christmas and what meant the most to me this year, there was two things. That was one of them. Giving that lady her comb. And the second one was when I got to the nursing home, I was looking for this little old man that we used to take his meals to him on Monday. And I said, God, I would really like for you to let me be able to see this gentleman. And as God is my witness, Mary, right when I said that prayer, I looked over and there he was. And I walked right into his room and I sat down and I just got to hold his hand. The reason I wanted to see him was because this year there was a time where I went to his house and 5 minutes before I got in there, his wife of like 70 years had died right in the home. And I was there within 5 minutes of her dying, and I got to hold his hand, and I got to pray for him right there in that moment. So on Christmas, what I wanted to do is I wanted to hold his hand, and I wanted to pray for him. Why? Because you know what? Life is very, very short. If there's somebody that you're mad at, you need to get over that being mad at them and go to loving them, because you know what? They may not be here to love tomorrow. Many, many times we're angry because we're holding a grudge against somebody. And let me tell you something. You're going to choose. You're going to choose a grudge or you're going to choose a relationship, but you can't have both. You can hold a grudge, but it's going to cost you. What's it going to cost you? Well, the Word of God tells you about it because it says, when ye stand praying, forgive, so that your Father in heaven can forgive you. But if you don't forgive, I'm not going to be able to forgive you. Go with me now to Leviticus chapter 26. We're going to look at verse 9. God asked Cain two questions. Why are you angry? And why is your face downcast? Leviticus chapter 26, verse 9. I know that I've asked you this in here this morning, and most of us have children. And one of my desires for my children is, I have a 12-year-old son and I have an 8-year-old son. They are my pride and joy, but they also drive me insane. But when I drop them off at school, here's what I always say, Kathy: God, watch over my boys. God, make them the head and not the tail.
Amen.
And God, help them to know that they're just as good as everybody else.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. God wants you to know you're just as good as everybody else. There's people in here, and because of some of the things that you've done in your past, you're angry, and you're angry at yourself. And you're wondering, does God really forgive? Yes, He does. You're wondering, does God really give me a clean slate? Yeah, He does. Can He really forgive what I did? Yes, He can. Can God really give me a second chance? Yes, He can. God can give you 100 chances if that's what you need. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 9. I will look on you with favor and make you fruitful and increase your numbers, and I will keep my covenant with you. See, when everybody that told you that they would be for you and they leave, God's not leaving you. He's keeping His covenant with you. When people said, oh yeah, we're just going to be the best of friends forever, and then they go off and you're not friends no more, guess what? God hasn't done that to you. When people disappoint you, when they hurt you, look here, God's not disappointing you. God's not hurting you. He says here, I will keep my covenant with you, and you will still be eating last year's harvest when you will have to move it out to make room for the new. I was in a mood yesterday. Does anybody ever get moody, or is that just me? I don't know, but I was in a mood, Bobby. I was in a bad... You ever get in a bad mood?
Hallelujah.
Does she ever get in a bad mood? All the time. We're in a safe place. We're in church, so, you know, she can't get you real good. I was in a mood. I had sat in the recliner. I had made the choice that I was going to let myself get sad about it. Okay? God said, Kelly, time for a Sonic run. Go get you some Sonic. Go get your little thing that you like. And when you drive back to your house here in Paris, drive by the Manna Center. Because, Kelly, every promise that I've ever made you, I've kept it. So, Kelly, all the other people that have made promises to you and hurt you and disappointed you, stop being angry at them. Because every promise that I've made you, I've kept it. I drove over here. I looked like a crazy person. I thought, God, don't let anybody be out here looking at me. And I just stopped right in front of it. And I just put it in park right in the middle of the road, and I just started to cry. And I'm a big believer that before something ever happens in the physical realm, you got to see that thing first in the spirit realm. And see, before the foundation was ever laid, Sherry, I saw that place. And yesterday when I drove by there and I began to see it, Moni, I saw our tables and I saw us feeding people. And I said, God, forgive me. And help me to stop being angry. Forgive me, because God, you have done so much. Have you ever sat, Russell, and just sat and thought about all the things that God's done?
Amen.
Doesn't it blow your mind?
Amen.
I mean, when you really want to start thinking that you want to have a bad day, if you'll just sit and you'll think about what God's done, you're going to get yourself out of that. And it says, I will keep my covenant with you, and you will still be eating last year's harvest when you will have to move it out to make room for the new. You know what this verse reminded me of? You're going to have to make room for the new. Reminded me of, in a matter of a month and a half's time, this church gave every person in this church and a lot of the city a prime rib, a turkey, and a ham. Little bitty church. See, a lot of people think that you've got to have all of this stuff and have everything and be a mega center and do this stuff. I don't know another place like this. Amen. This church reminds me of King David. Nobody would have ever picked him to be king, but God did. Amen. See, God will give you the anointing and everything else that you need to do what you're supposed to do. But let me tell you what will hinder that is being angry. Being angry. I sat there in front of the manna center and God said, Kelly, who else do you see that I've blessed this much and given you power, Kelly, and given you anointing and given you the means to do this? Why are you angry? Well, God, well, this person or this thing or that. Uh-uh. No. See, what is God asking you to move past? What is he asking you to leave? And it says here, I will put my dwelling place among you and I will not abhor you. And I'm thinking when I'm reading that, what does abhor mean? It means disgust, despise, hate, detest. And here's God, and he's saying, I'm not going to hate you. I'm not going to despise you. I'm not going to hold those things against you. See, sometimes we're sitting here and we're really questioning if God is really as good as he says he is because we've done some stuff. How many of you done some stuff and you just prayed God? Amen, he really is as kind as he says he is. Let me tell you something, he is. The word says, I'm not going to detest you. I'm not going to despise you. I'm not going to hate you. I will walk among you. I will walk among you. See, we serve the God, he walks right with us. Any pastor that's going to say and paint God in any other light other than the kindest, most sweetest God is lying. I don't know about y'all, but I know that I can preach from my own life. In the worst of the worst, in my deepest, darkest sin, Moni, here's what I know, what God did for me. He met me right there. Right there. He didn't say, well, Kelly, you've got to come up here first. He met me right in that place. And it says, I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. And I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with heads held high. God has enabled you today to walk with your head held high. It's not based off of what you've done or what you haven't done. It's based off of he is the God that walks among you, and you're his. And because you're his, you can walk with your head held very high. I can speak from an experience that I had over a year ago, and we live in a very small town. How many of you love living in a small town? I do. It really has its charm. But if you're in a small town, everybody's going to know all of your business. And if they don't know it, they're going to kill themselves trying to find out. My life is living proof of that. I've had Walmart associates before call my deacons and ask, well, what's Kelly, Pastor Kelly doing with this and what's she doing with that? And I'm thinking, I don't even know which Walmart associate said that. I don't even know them. I don't know where I was going with that. Gossip. We live in a small town. Thank you, Chicago. Chicago, raise your hand. This is my bodyguard. If anybody gets out of line, he's going to take care of you. Anyways, I was in town, Penny. And sometimes when you get on one of your episodes where you're going to feel sorry for yourself, the devil's going to help you out. And I had to go to a meeting in the town. And I just felt awful about myself. And I just walked in there and I just kind of was like, ugh. And I just plopped myself down. God began to deal with me and he said, Kelly, you need to lift up your head. You need to lift up your head because I haven't done everything that I've done for you to have your head low. See, the second question that God asked Cain, why are you so downcast? Why are you so downcast? God asks you that today. Why are you looking down instead of looking up? You really do have a beautiful life if you'll choose to see it that way. That's a choice. Am I saying there's not some hard times? Yeah. I know that we've had hard times. Am I saying that everything has to be perfect in your family? No, it's not ever going to be perfect. But your head should be held high because God has enabled you to do it. A couple Wednesdays ago, it may have been last Wednesday, Dad preaches on Wednesdays, and I always marvel how I can sit on a Wednesday in a 20-minute message, and there's been so many times where he said something, and it was just like, bam, just a ton of bricks just hit you right there in that place, right where you're at in your life. And Patty, he said, you know, there's people, and they're saying, well, I'll never have this. Well, it won't ever be as good as it was. Let me tell you something. Child of God, hold your head up. And it's going to be better than what it was. But you can't look at your life like, oh, look what I've lost. Look what's not going right. Because that's all you'll see. I wear fake eyelashes. I've worn them since the pandemic. The other day I was doing a video for the church. Mary Baker, you're going to enjoy this. I was doing a video about the boxes that we did for the nursing home ministry. And I wear fake eyelashes for one reason. And one reason only. Johnny's like, I wonder why she does it. Well, because I have Kelly theories, and one of the theories that I have made up in my head is this right here. As long as I have fake eyelashes on, I still look like I have makeup on, even if I really don't. That's what I tell myself. And I made this heartwarming video on our Facebook page of the church, bragging on the whole community, bragging on the church about the boxes that we made, had all the volunteers. And as God is my witness, somebody gets on there. And it's hard to be a woman pastor because everybody is judging everything I wear, my face, my hair, my makeup. Has Pastor Kelly gained 25 pounds? Oh, my gosh. It really shows up on the camera. One person messaged me out of my entire message. This is what they got. You're not up to par for TV, Kelly, because your eyebrows are not equal. Well, let me tell you something. They've been messed up since day one. They ain't going to get any better. I've got them as good as they're going to look. But I did this message on the Facebook Live. And this guy gets on there and he goes, fake eyelashes? Really? And I'm going to tell you something. That Puerto Rican Italian blood that I have going through my veins flared up. And I looked at Frank and I said, I just can't stand people some days. I said, out of that whole message, all he got was he was wondering about my eyelashes. And I was mad the whole way home. And God had to deal with me because look here, at the end of the day, that guy's just a dummy. Thank you. And God was dealing with me and he was saying, Kelly, stop. It doesn't matter what one dummy thinks about your eyelashes. But sometimes we are angry because of one stupid comment that somebody makes. We are upset over one look that somebody gave us in the grocery store and they gave us the silent treatment. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Well, who cares? They were probably just trying to remember what they came there for. Probably had nothing to do with you. What is this message about? Let's move ourselves to a different state of mind. So it says that he's enabled us to walk with heads held high. Sometimes that head is downcast because we feel so bad about what we've done, how we've let God down. And I'm going to remind you in here today, God wants you to have your head held high. Genesis chapter 4, let's go to verse 7. When I started doing this message, there's dividers in this notebook. And I turned my page, and there were things that happened in this year that were good, and there were things that happened in this year that absolutely broke my heart. And one of the things that was gut-wrenching is when our chief of police died. And as I was doing our message yesterday, I just said, God, help me to stop being angry. Help me to keep my head held high and help me to love people. Help me to be a good friend, to be a good pastor, to be a good daughter, to be a good mother, to be a good wife. This year has been a lot of things for a lot of people. I never thought this time last year that I would be standing at Robin Ellington's funeral saying the last words over her. And I'm going to end with a verse and end with a story about Robin. We had a women's prayer group breakfast, and I didn't think that Robin was going to come because Robin was around people all the time. And I thought on her one day off, I don't think that she's going to want to be around people. So I invited her, and I never thought she'd come. She was actually one of the first women here, and she came, and she sat right here. And so I plopped myself right where you're sitting. I said, Robin, I'm shocked that you're here. And she said, Kelly, I got dressed and undressed so many times this morning. She said, but finally, I sat down on my bed and I said to God, why should I let the devil talk me out of doing something that I really want to do? Why should I let the devil talk me out of doing something that I really want to do? Church, I wouldn't let the devil talk you out of doing anything that you really want to do. How does he do that? He gets us angry. He gets us angry. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. And it desires to have you, but you must master it. so many times people say, you know what, I don't know what God wants from me. Have you ever felt like that? I don't know what God wants from me. What does he want? One of the things that he wants is your sin. Your sin. There were three things that God and Cain talked about that day. Cain's anger, his face being downcast, and his sin. This isn't a message that I would have personally picked, but God personally picked everybody that would be under the sound of my voice today. So I trust that he knows best. And I want to ask you in here today, are you ready to go into 2024? Are you ready? I believe it's going to be a great year, but there's some choices and there's some decisions that you have to make. First of all, is there things in here that you're angry about? Are there things that you're angry about? Number two, is there some things in your life that, whatever the case may be, that they've caused you to have your face and your head and your countenance down where you're feeling bad about those things? And number three, is there a sin in your life and God keeps bringing it up to you over and over, and you know it's something that you need to stop doing. You know it's something that you don't need to have in your life anymore, but you keep choosing it, and you say, Pastor Kelly, I know that I need to stop. And I'm ready to. If you fit anywhere in those three categories, I'm going to ask you to stand up. We're going to pray. If you're watching this message and you're driving through your car and you can't stand up, you need to raise your hand. Why? Because you need to be involved with your life. If you're sitting at your home right now, you need to get up off of your couch and you need to stand up if you're supposed to be standing. Why? Because you need to be involved. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for your word today. God, I ask that you would help us to live this sermon out. God, I ask that you would help us to put your word into action, God, and change those areas of our life that we've talked about today. God, for every person in here and they're angry, Lord, I ask that you would replace that anger with joy and gladness right now in Jesus' name. Lord, for every person that's got their head and their countenance down and they're feeling bad about some things in their past, they feel bad about what's going on, Lord, I ask you right now to lift their head up, God. Help them to walk with their head held high. And God, for every person that they're ready to walk away from that sin and they need your help, God, I thank you right now that you are the help. God, I ask that you would bless us right now. God, I ask that you would keep us right now and make your face to shine upon us and give us peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all, we will not have church tonight. How many of people in the church like bacon? Okay, if you will go, Sherry, where's the bacon? Sherry's got the bacon right there. We've got a pack of bacon for every family.